In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To me, John the Baptist has always cut a dramatic figure in my mind. Living in the wild, eating honey and locusts, clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt, this wild man with a single and compelling ministry. Repent and be baptized. Be forgiven your sins through the waters of the Jordan River. He also proclaimed a single and compelling message that one more powerful than him, one he was not worthy to serve, one who would baptize not with water but with the Spirit, was coming after him. I wonder, did this man, this wild and dramatic figure, this bearer of a singular and compelling vision, did he fully understand who was coming? Did he fully understand who Jesus truly was and what Jesus would bring with baptism of the Spirit? After John's death and after Jesus' death, the ministry and message of baptism would be carried on. The apostles began taking the gospel to every place they could reach, proclaiming a message of mercy, a message of hope, a message of love. They also continued the call to baptism, to be washed in the life-giving water of the Holy Spirit and sealed with the holy name of Jesus. Amazingly, they made this call to all people, Jew and Gentile, Roman and Greek, slave and free, man and woman. Think about that for a second. How radical that was and is. How earth-shaking that was and is. So much of human society is about building walls and keeping people separated from one another. Whether it be language, custom, politics, economics, and class, there is so often something that creates them and us. The other, separated, distant, and removed, oftentimes imbued with a sense of danger and fear. And then here comes these disciples, these first followers of Jesus Christ, these Christians, tearing down walls that separate and divide, casting aside suspicions and fears of the other, carrying with them a single and compelling message, offering a single and compelling sacrament, offering a new vision for the world. Rejoice, for God has come and lived among us. Come and be washed with the Spirit and be forgiven your sins. Go, live now as members of Christ's own living body in the world. Did these first champions of the faith know what their witness would lead to? That for hundreds and then thousands of years, people of every race and creed, every walk of life, would hear the call to be baptized and answer it? Could they see us here now, gathered together, their descendants in faith, linked with them by water and the Spirit? In a few moments, we will renew our baptismal vows. We will declare the essential truths of our Christian faith, that God lived among us, that Jesus suffered and died for us, that his love for us was so strong, so complete and absolute, he would be raised from the dead so that we might come to know that love and live a new life. And we will proclaim what that new life is. This will be done with five very meaningful and pointed questions. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? This is asking us if we will be active and participating members in the church, in this tradition that has been passed down to us from generation to generation. will we come together with other Christians and pray for the needs and concerns of the world? Will we take bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and do as Jesus instructed, and remember him and the sacrifice he made for us all? This question asks if we will make the church a part of our lives. Will you persevere in resisting evil and, whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? This question is a recognition that the Christian life is not always an easy one, that despite how much we might strive to follow God and to live as Jesus teaches us to live, we will make mistakes. We will mess up. We will commit sins. But our sins do not define us. Our sins do not disqualify us from the Christian faith. And our sins do not invalidate our baptismal covenants. Because we are given the gift of God's mercy. We are given the gift of God's forgiveness. This question points us towards the knowledge that the Christian life is sustained and renewed by our seeking God's pardon and our receiving it time and time again. Because God's mercy flows like the Jordan River, which John the Baptist proclaimed his message from. And we need only to seek out that river of grace and let it flow over us and wash away our sins. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? What words will we use to speak of the power of Jesus' gospel? Will we share how it has transformed us, how it has changed us? Can it even be expressed in words alone, or must it also be paired with actions? The gospel is a story that is not only told by language, but is also continued with our living it out. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Those simple words, love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others as you yourself would be treated. It does not take much imagination to picture what the world could be like, what it could be like if people took those simple words to heart and lived them out. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? This one single sentence presents us with perhaps one of the most crucial and challenging calls of our faith, to respect every human being, everyone, those we do not like, those we fear, those we hate, those who proclaim that they are our enemy and deny us the dignity and respect that God has granted us all. These people, we are called to show Christian love. What can we achieve with this single and compelling message, with this call to new life in water and the Spirit? Because in it lays God's power, God's grace, the grace that has made all of us individuals, into one single body, the living body of Jesus Christ. What can we accomplish through that grace?